Hello, everybody. It is I, the Beijing Empress, back with another Heart Talks with the lovely Corinne Truthbomb Lafon. That's how I named her, and that's how she is to me now. I've been talking to Corinne already today because you were on this lovely Zoom call. No, it wasn't. It was a guest panel show called Now That's Love. It's still available for you all to listen to on YouTube and on Corinne's Facebook. And we had some amazing conversations there, very deep, very wonderful. But we both tired us all out today. We got no energy at all, but we can find some for today so that Corinne and I can help you, as this bonus episode of the Heart Talks, help you to cultivate more self-love and use that self-love that you're cultivating to help you see your goals, see where you're trying to go in life, see what kind of blocks you might come up against, and what you can do about it. So say hi, Corinne.
Hey. I'm here once again, people. Yeah.
You can't get away from me. Not ever.
I'm not running. I am running. I give up. See? Hands up in the air. You can't see me, but I give up. I'm like, yeah. I'm done. Yeah.
Anywho, let me start with a question now. Let me see what my mind telling me to ask you about this self-love thing. So here we are. You as a person who love to give examples of difficult situations and then have a practical answer to that. So I can throw that ball right back to you, madam. You got somebody out there who grew up in a household where they're constantly being berated, told that they're not good enough, have parents or siblings or aunties or uncles who undermine them every step of the way. And they got an idea of themselves that there are people now that aren't worth anything, can't achieve nothing, don't have any value in the world. How can we start to talk to, let's start with the extreme like that. How can we start to get people like that to begin to undo some of all of that abuse or lack of love that they experience so they can even begin to think about loving themselves? What are some of the things they need to look at?
As you started to talk, I went back in time. But you know the funny thing about time? It's on a continuum. And time travels through time. So it follows you no matter where you go. So all these sort of traumatic experiences, wounds, and things that you would go through, it kind of follows you, yeah? You don't really get rid of it, and it rears its head, its ugly head at times when you really don't want it to, but there's a reason why. And you mentioned about, you know, a child growing up in a home being told a lot of negative, toxic things. I think we all have to some extent, and I will share my personal experience. One that came to me when you were sharing that example or that scenario.
By the way, Corinne, have you got music on? Or is it the party?
It's the wedding.
The damn wedding. Shut up, man. I don't care if you're getting married.
I wanted to tell them why they decided to get married today.
Today of all days. When Corinne gonna be on the show? What, you crazy?
I was like, what of all the days? And the time too. It's not only the day. It's the time.
What's wrong with these people, man?
I don't know. They could have chosen any other day. They had a whole 13 days in February.
Yes,
and
man. Yes.
And, oh my God.
Yes. But you know what we could do? We could tell them to turn it up so at least we could dance to it. God.
I say.
I'm telling you, right? Let me get down.
That's what I said. I said to myself, you know, I can't put them out because they have lovely chairs and tables and everything, music kicking, you know. I said, you know, I'm gonna just take in the music, you know.
Take it in. It's a lemonade. Yes, ma'am.
That's right. Okay. It's a natural background music for today, okay?
So let me get back to that. That's a good place to start with people, though. When you go through these traumas, you got lemonade, but go ahead.
That's right. You know, and what do you call those little drunken drinks? Throw some rum in there if you need to. So don't just make basic lemonade.
Don't just make basic lemonade.
Rum in there.
Don't do it.
No. Don't be basic. If you're doing it, do it big. That's what
do
I
it
say.
Big, man. So, make a whole picture.
Do it big. That's right. Do it big. So when I was growing up, I was told about the color of my skin. Imagine that. And, you know, with this whole Black Lives Matter and colorism and talk about being black, being out there, you know, I have been thinking more and more about it, you know, and I said to myself, our own people are our own worst enemy. Mm-hmm. Within the black community, we are actually attacking each other for the color or the shades or hue of color of our skin, which is so amazing to me because don't matter what you are, you're black. Mm-hmm. I don't care what race you are, you're black. Mm-hmm. You're black. Unless you're white, of course, but you're black. So you could be as light, because black people come from the blackest of black to the lightest of light till you can be considered white.
That's right.
Okay? With straight hair, blue eyes, gray eyes, hazel eyes. We have it all. We are probably the only race that has it all.
True.
We can do hair, curly hair, freckles on skin, no freckles, black, we come in everything. We are the only race that I know of that has that. So I was made to feel very insecure growing up as a child about the color of my skin. And my mother, I never thought about it at the time, but I can distinctly, as I share the story with you now, I remember my mother worked in a hospital and I could see the person that she spoke to. I was right there. And she said to me, that person who is light in skin, but she's black. She said to me, that person made a comment or something about my skin, about how I'm this color. My mother is lighter skin. My father is much darker. And, you know, I'm like to myself, you know, I didn't feel good at that point in time. And for my mother to bring it to me, you know, now that I'm an adult, if I were in her position, I would not say that to my child. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. You have to be the filter as a parent for your children to protect them from all these sort of negative things. So now, as an adult, I'm looking back, I wonder. And not only based on that experience, but I wonder, based on other experiences and looking at my life back then, if really the person said that to my mother or she said that. Mm-hmm. I know it might sound cruel, but I don't know. And I'm not trying to say my mother hates me or dislikes me or she doesn't. Mm-hmm. I am just saying it is possible that the person probably didn't say it and my mother said it. And as I said, I accumulate experiences in the relationship with my mother to say that, because there were other instances in my relationship with my brother where the only place something like what I heard was said could only come from my mother. I'm not bashing my mother. I love my mother. She's my only living relative. She's the one that brought me up, single parent family. I am thankful. But that doesn't mean to say, and I want this to be a lesson coming out of this. It doesn't mean to say that because you talk about the issues and you bring up something that triggers you, that makes you feel insecure, and others may create an insecure situation, that it is not to be addressed. Addressing an issue doesn't mean to say you're attacking the other person. You're just trying to resolve the situation in yourself.
Of course.
You're just trying to resolve. It's an attack on the individual. So the situation with what I heard was said to my brother, as I said, could only come from my mother, because I heard it from somebody else who is close to my brother. Mm-hmm. And the only way, the only common denominator would be my mother. Planting that seed. Planting that seed. And I'm like, wow. I never addressed it with her. I never approached her about it. Of course, if she finds out about this episode, she will hear about it and probably approach me about it, and probably then it might cause a conversation. Mm-hmm. But that is just how I feel. And I have developed two-tone skin. I don't know when I developed it. No, I'm lying. I believe I had it I got it mainly when I was having my first son. There's something called chloasma or melasma, mm-hmm. where you get hyperpigmentation, as people would more recognize mm-hmm. it as, in my skin. Now, how I could tell you, I feel it is a pregnancy. And all these are insecurities, because from my neck up is the darkest part of my entire mm-hmm. body. Mm-hmm. Is it, and you know, your face is the first thing mm-hmm. that everybody sees, mm-hmm. your face and neck. Because remember, your clothes. And then when I have on clothes, you can definitely see one color from by my collarbone downwards mm-hmm. and one color from above my collarbone upwards. I got that in the first pregnancy. How I could say that is because in my second pregnancy, because I have two boys, I was in Jamaica for the second pregnancy. I was living there for 21 years, so I had him there. And my mother came to visit me to spend some time to help me with the baby and all of that. And when you're walking, you normally don't walk and look behind you. So she is quite always observant. So she said, Corinne, what is that behind your legs? I'm like, what? She said, I'm seeing a darkness coming up. I said, what? So I stood up now and looked. And even when I looked, half of my leg is darker than the other half. I never had it before. So from my ankle, come straight up. There's a line. You know, like how when women are pregnant, you get that line on your belly. There is a line coming up. Ankle straight to my crotch and half of my leg behind there is dark and the other half in the front is light. I'm like, oh, Jesus, I swear. It must be through pregnancy I get this because I never had these things before. And I just have to accept it. I tried all sort of things to get the coloration back. It just wasn't coming back. Mm-hmm. And I just had to accept it. Right now, I'm putting stuff, but it makes me feel insecure. And let me tell you something. The insecurities is coming from you as well, because a lot of people don't notice it. It's only if I bring it to their attention, mm-hmm. they will see it because they're not paying attention. They'll be like, I never noticed that. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? So I'm talking to people feeling insecure about the color of my skin or the two-tone color. Mm-hmm. And they're like, but there are some people that will bring it to my attention. And some people are the people who are very close to you. My children's father, who is now my ex, he brought it to my attention. Of the 27 years we have been together, he never mentioned it until that coming down into the end. And he says, how your legs look lighter than the rest of you. And I'm like, you know, noticing that after 27 years, come on. I mean, I've been naked in front of you. I sleep with you. We have children, so, you know, we did the little, you know,
You did the do there.
I did the right? So how come you are now trying? So I'm like, you're trying to trigger me. And I just said, you know, just leave it alone. And I just left it, you know, but how do
but
we
you
deal
raise
with
a
that?
Very important point, you know, Karine. Because the difference between people who have been through trauma and your way of dealing with it is that most of them feel ashamed of speaking about it. And it is in the revealing it to other people to speak it publicly is a testimony, you know? So what you have learned to do, even in the midst of you saying, I still insecure about it, you are empowering yourself and other people. You say, this is not something I did to myself. This is not something I inflicted upon myself. This is something that happened and I'm having to deal with it. And sharing it out loud without feeling embarrassed to share it is the first step in building up your self-esteem. And the people that aren't doing that are carrying that shame on the inside, frightened that somebody's going to come up to them on the street and say whatever it is they think the worst thing that person could say is. So now they can't build themselves up. So you're sharing a very powerful lesson. That will help many people.
Yeah. And the thing about it is when you can address and accept, I mean, I stand naked in front of my mirror. I stand naked in front of my mirror and I look at every part of me. I rub my body. I have a mix that I mix with my virgin coconut oil, neem oil, tea tree oil, my essential oils, and I rub my body. And I encourage people to do that. And when I look at my body, I say, I am so thankful. I look at my shape. I look at all the things that I could be insecure about. My belly, my breast, my color of my skin. And I'm like, you're beautiful. And it is so interesting that lately people are saying to me, Corinne, what are you doing? What are you doing? your smile is different than before. I said, but I'm always smiling. It's the same smile. They're like, no, something is going on. I'm like, what? I'm like, but it is about acceptance, because if I could accept my facial hair, my acne, my two-tone skin, my eyes, or my hair, whatever, you know, nobody else could come to make me feel bad about that.
That's I'd be like, right.
Girl, you know, seeing that? It is. You didn't see the zit. And I actually have a mustache, you know.
She does it, you know, but go ahead.
There's nothing you could say. So in other words, I am not giving my power to you for you to sink me. You understand? You have no power over me because I already know I'm sexy. I'm
I'm all of that.
And
a box of coconut bread.
That.
Yes.
Okay, I'm all of that. Okay. Yes. And I look better than you.
You over there.
Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, and I look fabulous. You know, guys will say, you look great for your age. And I'll be like, excuse me, what does that mean? I don't
remove
know.
Move the for your age there. Remove.
The for age. Just say you look good. You look hot. And I know you look hot.
That's right.
Okay?
I can just see you now. I never see you walk, but I know how you walk. I know.
You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, man.
So when people, whether your parents, the man you're sleeping with, whoever, I don't care. Whoever wants to tell you something, say, you know what? Thank you. You know, and you just move on. Because I think what they're wanting is a reaction out of you. Oh my God, really? Oh, no. And you're running. No, I know all of that. And you know the amazing thing? We see people in the media. I was watching Gabrielle Union's story and listening to her and the struggle she's going through because she made it public with having a child and she felt, oh my God, she feels imperfect, incompetent, inadequate. Mm-hmm. You know, all of that because she's not able to bear and carry a child. And she was willing to do every and anything just to be able to carry a child. Okay? And I'm saying we idolize these people. Look at these people. We see them on TV. You know, paparazzi, clickety-clack. And we feel everybody out there is perfect. I used to look at YouTube videos. I still do. And this is why I never used to put myself on video. Because I felt, oh my God, skin. Look at how pretty she looks. Oh my God, her hair is perfect. I don't look like that. Right? And then I saw recently a girl who is darker than me. I mean, jet black. This is not to bring her down. She's beautiful. But she is black. Okay, and the woman has views and followers in the thousands and millions, and people are following her. Nobody's commenting about the color of her skin. She don't care. She knows who she is. She exudes confidence. She's very intellectual. And we look at people on TV and especially on TV with the media and they're in magazines and feel that they don't have issues too. Hello, please. They have zits. They have all sorts of things going on with them. So why should I beat up on myself just because I am not on TV or in a magazine like they are?
This is the truth. And when it comes to this whole idea that I initiated, which is about you went through your own trauma as a child, and when what Corinne is helping us to understand is if you can just separate, instead of thinking of it like these are thoughts in my head reminding me you're not this, you're not worthy, you're ugly, you're fat, you're... Imagine it like Corinne's explaining it. It was like somebody coming up to you in the street and saying these things to you. You wouldn't accept that. You're like, who the ass are you to come up to me and tell me anything?
That's right.
You can say that to those thoughts in your head too.
Yeah.
You don't even have to be harsh with them. You can be loving with them, whatever works for you. But you can begin to look at those thoughts and so and see them as, I'm just replaying my childhood. As Corinne said, time is fluid. It's continuous.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just replaying my childhood thoughts and I am not that child. So now I have to treat those thoughts like if it was an abusive person coming up to me in the street. I say, hey, I'm good. As Corinne explained, showed us. These are my things that make me distinctly, originally me. That is what they make me unique.
That's right. Because I haven't seen anybody I met one person. I have a friend. Mm. She had the same thing and she has been trying stuff. And other people have things in different ways that mightn't be as visible as me. You know, they have things dealing with. anytime I go to buy my pastries and the shops and whatever, and I go up to, and I find them grumpy, I'm like, oi, oi, oi. Smile, baby. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. And she, you would see the broad smile that would come on that face. And I say, hello, when you put in my pastry in the package, give it with love, baby. Give it with love. I want you to give me the stuff with love. And she's like, yes. By any time I leave that shop, the amount of positive energy and laughter and smile and love I feel and they have, it's like, oh my God, they must remember me when I come back in the shop again. You know, and I just feel everybody should just accept who they are. I have seen big women, obese women, okay, and they're looking hotter than me because they have accepted their size, their shape, their dress to suit, and they are just beautiful. I am not pulling down anybody. Everybody is sexy. All I'm saying, I'm sexier than everybody right now.
Well, yeah, let's just speak the truth, but, right? Let's just say what's true and just be that way. Just say it. Say it today.
That's right. That's right. I'm just saying I'm sexier than everybody here right now. Okay? You will be sexy in your corner, but right now.
Right here, in this time. Right. Let's move it on to another scenario. Let me take now. So here you are. You're somebody who's been in a job for a while now, and you know you want to go for a promotion, but you believing that you don't have the skills or you don't have, you think the boss just gonna say no, so you're not even gonna try. What would you say to them, Kareem, to help them build up their self-confidence and their self-love to go for that promotion?
Well, I think we have all, again, been in positions like that. Although I don't think I had been in a situation where I could go for a promotion. But, you know, at least be thought of to be part of a team in my situation, you know, to be considered and all of that. But if somebody wants to go for a promotion, it's all about preparing yourself and how you are perceived and the value that you bring, especially in an organization. You have to understand the culture. Mm-hmm. How do the people think? How do the movers and shakers and the decision makers think? Because all the other little people might be one thing, and there may be people who will influence, but it's really the movers, shakers, and decision makers. And how are you adding value? How are you interacting with people on the team? Are you an individualist? Are you somebody who can be part of the team? Are you looking to get something if you give something every time? In other words, you're not willing to give unless you could get something back. You know, it's all about that. And really understanding where the organization is going and how you can make a contribution to help that organization get there probably faster or get there in the most effective and efficient manner. Mm-hmm. So if you need to hone in on some new skills and you need to understudy somebody, let's say Eve is working somewhere and you need that particular skill, hang back a bit, learn something from Eve, tell her, probably, you could probably share, you could probably say, you know, building silence is what I believe. So you might want to tell Eve your goals, but you say, look, I would like to learn this and would you mind teaching me so and so? And if she's willing to teach you, learn it. And use those skills. If you need to go to school to do something, well, now everything is online. Well, everything was always online. Do what is necessary and keep adding value to the team or to the various teams that may not necessarily be in your specific department, but the department that you want to go or the promotion that you want to go, because you would have studied, obviously, what you need to do to get from A to B, okay? So if you know you have a gap, then you need to work on yourself. And it's all about image. I'm into PR and branding. Mm-hmm. If you used to dress a particular way, but that promotion requires a particular look, then you need to ask yourself, do you want to take on that? Do you want to change? It doesn't necessarily mean change who you are, but the look. So for persons like me who are into media and stuff like that, the look is very important. Mm-hmm. How you look, how you speak. You know, your body language, you may need to do some public speaking skills. You may need to go out there and, you know, get more used to the public speaking to people, interacting, building camaraderie. It's a lot of self-development, more so probably than even the intellectual or school type or, you know, academic sort of preparation. More the self-development that oozes out of you to be able to attract, because people are going to see. People
pay attention. They're going to notice you now.
They're going to notice. When they say, ooh, your eyebrows look different today. I mean, you can start small. Mm-hmm. The eyebrows. Although I don't do my eyebrows, but yeah, The eyebrows. It might be a change in the lipstick if you're wearing lipstick. For me, I don't like makeup at all. So if somebody see me when I wake up, it will be like, whoa, what's going on here? You know, since when have you started wearing makeup? You know, things like that. You might start wearing something light, understanding your complexion. It may be your hair. It may be the investment in jewelry. It may be even in your bra. You used to wear a particular bra at one point. Now you're, you know, your girls
perky.
You understand? You understand?
But also, if you start helping other team members, people are going to remember you and notice that you went above and beyond what you were required to do. And then they will start thinking of you in a new way, no?
That's right. That's right. And that comes all with understudying. And when you understand what you need to do to get to fill that gap and you start going on other teams, they're going to see that, hey, you know, Corinne knows how to do this. Eve knows how to do that. Or we want Corinne on the team. Or we want, without looking immediately for that gratification. I think
that's
we all,
right.
We all want that gratification. Give me something for this. Can I get a promotion tomorrow morning? Can I get No, it has to be a steady process over time.
Yeah? Well, don't be like me, because I used to be in that kind of environment. I used to be there stooping and sucking my teeth all over the place because I didn't want to be there. It was written all over my face.
Yeah.
My supervisors used to dislike me very, very much. And the day I said I was leaving, this is something changing you. This thing you seem very calm and very engaged. I said it's because I'm leaving today, my dear. I'm happy. I'm very, very happy. But what I'm saying that for is you have to want the thing you're going for. There's no point going in there trying to have a promotion just because you, as Corinne said, many of the things she said, but to bring it to a specific point, you want more money, but you don't like the environment, you don't like your boss, you don't like the product, you don't like the service, you don't. Why are you wasting your time?
And you don't want to change yourself. So people might look at me, well, you see my hair, you know,
very cute.
Thank you.
I like
that's
it.
That's when you're
like baby chic.
It is.
I like it curly and lovely.
When I cut my hair and it falls to the floor, it's like wool. It's like
you got
wool.
Jesus hair.
I'm telling you.
Yes. Hey.
I just tucked in my wings for a minute because I didn't want to show off on your episode.
Hey.
I just tucked in the wings. But you know, somebody, I might walk in to say a bank or some sort of corporate institution, and they find, her hair is so low. Or I might put a splash of pink in my hair. Or I might put a splash of purple or whatever. And they might find, no, you can't work here like that. I'll be like, excuse me, how is my hair having anything to do with the work that I have to do? The hair is not doing the work. I'm not out on the front line.
The
even
hair
if I am
is not doing the work.
And if, well, it may be contributing, but yeah, it's not doing the work. But you know, it's not affecting you. Why are you making it impact you? What? This is how I am. For all you know, being blonde and bright is what makes me think better. Have you ever thought about that?
You are now a transmitter of wisdom through your hair.
Oh,
hello.
Okay. This allows me to be me. And because this allows me to be me, I am good and I can function this way. You're coming to tell me, relax my hair, make it straight like how I used to long ago, and do all sorts of things and then flip it this way and cut it this way. Hell
no. Nay happening.
No. The hair butter in you, thank you so much. Thank you.
You're not for me and I am not for you.
And for you.
Yes. Okay, I got another one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Got somebody here now in my mind, in my imaginary left hand to me here right now. They're asking me the question I'm going to ask you. They say, I always thought I had an important story to share with the world. I thought that there was something I needed to share, but I haven't got the first clue about how to go about getting out there and getting my story out there. And we know Corinne Trufant Lafont is a public speaker. You can't shut she up. So I tell you, she is a true speaker. She knows just how to help you. So I can ask she for you, Corinne, what does Persia here over on my left need to do to start their public speaking? And what's at the root of that they need to get in touch with?
Well, a lot of people who want to get out there are afraid of speaking in public. They can't even talk about themselves. If they do have a book or they want to write a book, it takes them forever just to share or pitch the idea of what they want to do. So I say you need practice. Make sure you're quite comfortable and that you're quite confident. And it's not a make-believe confidence because people can see through that, okay? They can see when you're pretending. Be yourself. Be yourself. And if you need to build your confidence, work on that. Ask your friends. Ask people what they think about you. Be honest and don't be defensive. The worst thing to do is to be defensive if somebody's telling you something. Accept it because they are outside looking in. Okay? You are in looking in. You're not going to see it. You want people from the outside looking in to tell you. So ask people, what do they think? What is their perception of you? You know, you're thinking about doing this, you want to get out there some more, what's their perception? And their perception will help you to shape a sort of strategy that you need to work on to move forward. So if they find you're not strong enough to be able to speak in public, go and do some freebies. Speak for schools, offer to speak at functions, to give a toast, a simple thing. A toast or something, you know, something, a prayer or whatever, and see how you go and ask for feedback and be evaluated. This is what we do in Toastmasters as well. You know, we ask for evaluation and feedback. A lot of people are afraid of feedback and evaluation, but we have to be able to ask for feedback and accept it without being defensive. And so you take your time to build, and eventually, as you gain more confidence, you can put yourself out there. Now, all of this could be happening at the same time. It doesn't mean you have to get this done and then do this. If you're really serious, you have to put your best self out there. So you look at what is your best self, do an inventory, a skills inventory, which is like soft and hard skills, and put the best self out there. So if you're strong in a particular area, put that until the other areas that are not as strong, you build them up, and then over time you could add those. So in speaking in public or getting out there, one of the things I advise is a media kit, which is like a one to two page maximum, 2 pages. It could be a cover page and then a second page, giving some details about like your website, some photos of you, what services you offer, what you can do, which will actually portray your strengths. So everybody could get something on one page, please, one page. Okay, with some links on there that are clickable that will take people to the photos that they could download, or episodes like this where people can listen to, because people want to have social proof. So I have been on several podcast interviews over the years. I have spoken several places, Jamaica, Trinidad, the US, you know. I have done online conferences, real-time conferences. You collate all of that and you build a portfolio that you could put in a one-page or two-page media kit that persons could access. And while you're working and strengthening those areas that are not so as strong, you have the strong parts about you outside. Yeah?
Very nice. Isn't she juicy? Hey, I asked you about three completely separate things that each time she gave the most amazing answers that I know is going to resonate with you people out there. Well, let me see. Oh, God, and you notice the sun come out and shine on your face while you were talking, bright, bright.
Yes, I'm noticing. They can't see, but I can see.
Man.
It's actually.
Yes, you look gorgeous.
I do. I do. I was noticing it.
Yes, if I was a man, I would marry you. I would marry you if I was a man.
I'm willing.
No worries, man. No worries.
Well, the wedding is next door.
I got COVID stopping me moving, but I would have been there now. Hey, where is I? Back to the show. Let me take
that. That's all right.
Don't worry about it, man. Don't worry. Let me think. So we're talking about self-love, and the thread and the theme of self-love and everything that you have shared to me seems to be honor yourself, believe in yourself, trust yourself, tell the truth to yourself about your fears and your insecurities and your doubts, get some mentorship, get some support, have a strategy, have a plan. All these things gonna build up your confidence. What other things are I missing, Kareen, that I could be adding to that list?
Have fun. Have loads of fun. Have fun. Do everything that brings joy and bliss to you. Don't be so stuck up and stiff. Have fun. Life is too short. COVID has taught us that, if nothing else in the past has. And, you know, you're just looking at you know, I'm looking at life and I'm saying, what you stressing over? Why are you looking at everybody else on TV and saying they're better than you, or this one is that? Look, let it go. The universe knows when you're supposed to get something, what you're supposed to get, how and why. You just enjoy. You just live. It don't worry about what Eve will say, what Corinne will say, what the neighbors will say, who is around you. Don't forget them, because those are the people who want to do what you're doing.
That's right. And I thought of one now, actually. I see this thing happening a lot, because people always talk about parents mess up the children and all that kind of thing. But what if you was a parent who have sort of young adult children or something like that, and you trying to do something for yourself, and they're looking down on you and telling you to behave yourself and act like a mother or like act like a father, and you feel guilty, because parents feel guilt all the time. But you don't know how to tell them to just back off, man. Yeah. It's your time now. I need to go out there and do my thing. What suggestions you have for them kind of people?
Yeah. Just what you said. It's my life. I need to get out and do my thing. Yeah. Just what you said. It's my life. To the point. Why waste time? I mean, I'm an adult with two children, a 25-year-old and 17-year-old, and my mother's still alive. She's 80, what? She born in 1940. So what is that? 81 years old, something like that. And I mean, the woman is still trying to control my life. And I, you know, you just have to take a stand. And because we are children to you to a certain point where you take care of us and you legally, you're responsible for us. If the police come knocking on your door, it's you they're coming to. You know, but I have a 25, going to be 26-year-old. No police could come knocking on my door. For what? Nobody's supposed to be waking my sleep up, disturbing me or calling me. No. He is on his own.
Yes, you're a grown man now, dear. It's all you.
Oh yeah. 18, maybe, right? According to the law, but from the time you reach 18 and a second, no, 18 and a second, okay, that's gone. And it might sound harsh, because when I tell people these things, they find I'm hard. I'm like, no, dear. You know, some parents have their children 40s, 30s, whatever, still living in the home with them. I mean, if you're in
a situation,
I'm not condemning anybody.
No, but can you imagine?
But I believe in letting go. I tell people, I said, listen to me. I want my children out of the house from 18, 19. Okay,
I'll give them from your same thing. The same thing.
I'll help you pack. Once you find a job or something that could keep you and you find a little space, you must learn to start here and build, or whatever. I'm not saying that I'm kicking you out and not being there for you if you call on me or you need a little, you know. But no, get out. And don't think you're bringing your children
and
here for me.
And I'm saying that with love. Get out.
Yeah, of course. Did you hear the love when I said it? Get out. I'm like, yeah, that's love. Yeah. So, and don't bring your children here either.
Neither. Don't bring your picnic around here. No.
I'm out. Yes, I do not disturb sign permanently on my door. No, get out. And I say that with love.
Yeah,
I'll kiss you too.
Yeah. I'm encouraging your self-realization, my dear. That is love.
No, because let's look at the other side. Mm-hmm. I keep you home. Mm-hmm. You feel sheltered. You feel you get comfortable. You want to be able to do certain things, but I cannot tolerate as I grow as a man in my house now, I can't tolerate certain things. You're a man, you need to open up your wings, you know, and other things, and go there.
That's right.
That you can't do in my house. Or I don't want you doing in my house.
That's right.
Okay. So for your freedom, for your sanity, and for my sanity, and let me tell you something, Em. Most of all for me, I'm a mother. I could speak for other mothers, I'm sure. You have mothers and you have mothers. But let me tell you something that impacts me the most. Your child is an adult. He's still in your home. He has a car. He goes out and you don't know where he's going. Mm-hmm. You don't know what time he's coming back in. You watch the clock. You are up. You're watching news. 8 o'clock news. You're okay. You're taking a movie here and there. Mm-hmm. You drink a cup of tea. You realize, hold on there. It's midnight. And you're like, I haven't seen this child here yet. No, you see how you're thinking, this child. Even though it's an adult, this is your child, because your heart is hurting you and you start to worry. You see the worry part? You see the worry part, Eve? I don't.
That would kill you.
That kills. Mm-hmm. I don't want the worry, Eve. I must not be worried about going in my bed and my children or my family members. The family members, because they don't have to be my child alone. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's in the home, I must not be sitting up worrying.
I'll tell you something. And then even if you was sitting up worrying, ain't going to stop them. Whatever happening going to happen. So you might as well get your sleep and prepare yourself. So exactly. Just in case it happens, you got some sleep and you're rested. Because you sitting up there worrying and holding your brow is not stopping that thing from occurring. So why are you
exactly.
doing
it? Exactly. Exactly. But when, as a mother, it's not going to stop it. But it really wreaks havoc on your heart and soul.
Yeah, you're stressed, man. Stress. You can't be stressing yourself out like that.
What I don't see and know is best for me.
Hello.
And what I don't see and know is best. Don't make me know. I don't want to know. So I don't need to see you getting dressed to go somewhere. And then I'm thinking, my mind goes into a zone. I wonder where he's going. What time he's going to come back? He normally comes back 3 o'clock. That means he's up on the chair until 3 o'clock. Mm. No. I don't want to know.
And you also have to trust your parenting skills. Did you give this person skills to deal with situation? Then trust in what you teach them and let go. It's not
certain. It is correct. You are correct. And that's part of the letting go, by putting them out at 18. Or 1920. You're like, yes, I've given this 18 years investment. I need to
spread my wings now.
Yeah, not only that, test to see if what I have taught is going to come back to me, or if it's, you have to test it.
Test the waters.
But hold on, the birds do it. I mean, I never spoke to a bird to ask, but I understand birds, the mother, even if it's the father, or the cousin,
the brother,
next
man. Just kick them out. Throw them out.
And whether they flutter their wings or not, that is their business.
That is their business.
I'm sure the mother, that is their business. I don't know if the mother bird is looking over and saying,
the night
oh, go,
before
flutter,
she lying there with she brow, just like, oh dear God, I gotta throw the children out tomorrow. She ain't doing that.
I don't know if she having a drink of vodka. I don't know what sort of preparation.
You know?
I don't know.
See, they're having some tobacco on the drink. You don't know what that bird
do. I don't know what they're smoking. If it's ganja, I don't know what they
anything,
have to do.
Anything.
Get those birds
having
out.
Having some chocolate. You don't know what that bird up there doing.
No. You know, I don't know if they have a conversation. I don't know. I don't know if they have a conversation with the children and say, you know, little Eve, at 6 o'clock or 5 tomorrow morning, I am going to be kicking your behind out this nest. Okay? So you know you're talking to them in the night. So for 5 o'clock in the morning, you don't have much time. You don't have much time. So I don't know if motherhood is
looking up at her going, cheat, mommy, cheat. Are you gonna don't try the old sweet eye thing now because you're going?
I don't know if they have a conversation. If the mother smoke, Or she drink, or she just wake up in the morning. She just wake up in the morning, and while little Eve asleep, she just does a quick kick you. I don't know. But it works.
It works. And
somehow it works.
Like,
yeah. The turtles do it. The turtles do it. From the time they get pushed out or however they are born, they know to automatically go towards the water, and the mother is not looking, oh my God, where is little Eve? Where's your brother?
She gone with her boyfriend. Days before. She not butter.
I don't understand. I've seen the elephants do it. As the elephant give birth, the elephant must stand up. He have a day.
Yeah, you ain't got even.
He don't have a day. As she push him out, he must stand up, because she would poke him like, hello, please.
You could climb up on my back there, so you better start walking.
No. Walking. Ooh. So the baby elephant, whatever you call them, don't have time. As they come out of the sack, that's that. It don't have no time to think, oh my God, where am I? There is no sheets to cover me. Can you cuddle me? Can you kiss me?
No, they're not interested.
None of that cuddle.
No.
It's only the humans who cuddle, keep inside.
No. So I want you to just check your heart of all these wonderful examples we're giving you of nature and nurture. You say, time to go, love.
Time to go.
It's all right. If you really need me, I will be here, but not on a 24/7 basis, I'm afraid.
Hello. And change your damn locks, people.
Change your locks.
Yeah. Amazing.
Karine Lafont, you do a lot of work for the world, the community, and everybody. You inspire and empower us all. You're yourself 1,000%. You're living your truth. You stand in it. You're authentic, beyond authentic. And everything you do has good intentions behind it. Now, I know you have lots of things come up. Tell me some of the things you got going on now. You got about 1,000 interviews a week, as far as I can see. What's going on with you, madam?
That's hard today. No, love. Are you hearing me?
I'm hearing you, yes. Are you able to hear me? I can hear you. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So Now That's Love, which spoke about, today's Valentine's Day that we're talking.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you, love. I need all the love I can get.
Thank you.
So, yes. So, we spoke about Now That's Love. And, of course, you were awesome on my panel of speakers. I was awesome,
as were you.
Yes, you were awesome. And we spoke about love. And that's going to be there running until available to persons until the end of next month, March 31st. And they can go to my Facebook page, Karine Lafont, for that. And they could also check YouTube. Mm-hmm. If they do a search for Now That's Love, I'm sure it will come up and they will see us there. Coming up on the 26th of this month is one of my monthly workshops. Mm-hmm. And that workshop is going to be on podcasting 101. And I'm going to be teaching persons the basics of podcasting to get them started, because people have realized, well, of course, we're online more now. And they're looking for strategies to get out there. And podcasting has been around for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I started it in 2012 officially. Mm-hmm. So I've been in it for about 8-9 years now. And there were people before me who were doing it. So it has been around for some time. But people are now realizing that it is important to get their word, their voice, get their voice heard. And learn from others, like how we're doing here. Mm-hmm. And get different perspectives. And I will tell you, the experience of a podcast is not only for sharing your views, but it helps you to develop yourself as well. Mm-hmm. And spread a message to the world. And it gives you the ability to reach and penetrate an audience that you would not do with your sole voice one-on-one.
Reach, so it's a very good penetrate.
Reach and penetrate. So it's a tool, and we want to be able to share with persons how they could quickly do that free, as well as if they want to upgrade and pay to do so, and different opportunity.
Pay to do it, man. You get the full in-depth treatment.
That's right. That's right. I agree with that. Pay to do it. Well, the workshop that I'm having, they have to pay for that workshop. It will be a one-hour workshop. Mm-hmm. And they pay for it, but they get a discount. So the discount may take them down to, I think it's $49 or $50 or something like that for the 1 hour.
Bargain.
And I can tell you it will be a juicy 1 hour.
Bargain.
Yeah, that's a bargain. That's a bargain. Yeah. So there is a code when you go to the page. It's called, if you go to my website, it's there. So LaFontaineAssociates.com. Mm-hmm. Everything is there. Even the Now That's Love and the Podcasting 101 on February 26th at 7 to 8 p.m. AST, which is Trinidad and Tobago time, which will be 8 to 9 p.m. EST.
Nice.
Yeah? So check that. And every month, I have a workshop. And what I encourage persons to do, I know some people might be kind of icky in paying the money, but you can also make back that money as an affiliate of mine. So help me to promote the workshops, the monthly workshops, and you can have a monthly income coming into you where you earn 50%. So if persons get a discount of 50 and somebody you refer pay $50, you get $25. So everybody who you refer, you make some money.
That is super generous, my dear. Super generous.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you give, you want, and you also give, yeah? Mm-hmm. So there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance.
Yeah, this is perfect. Now, I can tell you people, Kareen has been working hard. And when we first came on here, we both look at each other like, oh, Lord, can we do this? And then look how much fun we had. Look how informative and amazing it ended up being. Of course, it did, because it's Kareen through Mom LaFont. And the Beijing Empress. So it's not really.
That's right. You're getting island. You're getting island vibes here. Island vibe.
This is how we do it. But thank you, my love. Kareen LaFont at LaFontAssociates.com. And Facebook page was what? Your name?
Kareen LaFont. Same name. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, my lovely, for coming on. A second time, I really appreciate you. I love you.
Keep I love you more.
Boo. inspiring the world.
Yes, I love you more, Eve. Thank you so much. We have such a good time, and I learned so much from you. Push me to really think and to be better. Thank you for this opportunity again.
Same here.
Yet again. Thank you so much. And happy Valentine's again. Spreading love.
Yeah, Galentine. Happy Galentine there. That's what they call it now.
Yeah.
All right, listeners, thank you for another show. Now, remember to like, review, and rate the podcast wherever you listen to it. Make sure you share it with your friends if you like the episode. Keep bigging we up. We got people from all over the world now. I feel really good about that. So keep sharing it. And I look forward to seeing you very, very soon. You know I'm going to be back soon, man. I love you all. Like cook food, like rice and peas. Like chicken and rice, like cuckoo and flaky. I love you. Bye. Say bye, Kareen.
Bye, my darlings.